WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
In 1970, the Boston Women's Health Collective began mimeographing a series of research papers on women's health issues. They were soon so inundated with requests for the material that they expanded the papers into a book titled Our Bodies, Ourselves, which was first published in 1973. It was the first book ever to catalog and talk about women's health issues with such thoroughness and respect. The collective published a revised version in 1984, and this month, And Our Bodies, Ourselves, Updated and Expanded for the 90s, has just been published. Critic Maureen Corrigan has a review.
The year is 1972. The location, my high school, which happens to be Catholic and all-girl. The occasion, a newly mandated weekly class entitled Health. One of the younger nuns teaches this class, and in the past few weeks, she's talked about hygiene in a frank way. But today, the atmosphere is different. Today, we've finally gotten to human reproduction. Sister wheels in a large tape player, switches it on, and vanishes out the door. A man's voice fills the classroom. He sounds a little unreal, unhuman. He sounds like Mr. Ed. He begins describing the male sexual organ and tells us, bizarrely, that when it's aroused, it's roughly the size of our index finger. 35 girls snap their heads down, look at their hands, and begin giggling. We know it can't be so. When the giggles fade, Mr. Ed is still talking. He's progressed now to the female sexual organs. He tells us, and I'll never forget this, that a woman's body is like a popcorn machine. Every month, it pops a fresh egg into a fallopian tube. This time, nobody giggles, because the weirdness, the downright alienation we've all been feeling in relation to our own menstruating bodies has just been intensified by this ludicrous image. Then and there, I want nothing so much as to hide out with Sister and contemplate the realm of the spirit for the rest of my life. What a difference a year made. In 1973, Our Bodies, Ourselves appeared. It was a vast, well-researched compendium of women's health issues that talked about female biology in a female voice. Interspersed among chapters on intercourse and birth control were paragraphs where women spoke about their different bodily attitudes and experiences. For example, in the chapter on women getting older, one woman confided that, "It was hard for me to tell the man I've been going out with how old I am. I felt terrible, as if I were telling him I had some socially disgraceful disease." Instead of wacko popcorn poppers, Our Bodies, Ourselves was filled with straightforward illustrations and photographs. As some of us got used to looking at other women's naked bodies, we became more at ease with our own. Most of the old chapters have been kept in the 90s edition of Our Bodies, Ourselves. That's a depressing commentary on the fact that the conditions that first necessitated chapters on violence against women and occupational health haven't radically changed. What's been added are sections on new methods of prenatal testing and contraception, and a grim new chapter entitled AIDS, HIV infection, and women. It also seems to me that as the fault lines within feminism have spread over the past two decades, Our Bodies, Ourselves has made even more of an effort to be inclusive. There are expanded sections here on the health and sexuality of disabled women, as well as discussions of the particular threat AIDS poses to women of color, lesbians, and prostitutes. Our Bodies, Ourselves is no longer the only smart women's health book around. That's a testament to its political effectiveness. But it's still the one women's health book that women like me, who remember the dark ages, know we never again want to be without.
Maureen Corrigan teaches at Georgetown University.